The streaming of this service is covered by a copyright license from CCLI number 14636. Welcome to worship at North Borwen Uniting Church on Sunday the 30th of November 2025, the first Sunday of Advent. Please be seated. We come ready to find ourselves in the company of God.
We come seeking God's ways of justice and peace.
The night is far gone, the day is near.
We wake from our sleep to walk in God's light.
Nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
We long for the day when war shall be no more.
Come, people of God, let us worship the one who calls us.
We come to learn God's ways, to walk in Christ's light, and to live in peace. This land is God's land, for which the Wurundjeri people have cared since time immemorial. We acknowledge their elders, past and present, and we commit ourselves to the covenant between the Uniting Church and the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress. The blue flower on the altar today is to acknowledge Ruth Shipp's 8th great-grandchild, Connor, who arrived last Sunday, the 23rd of November, to her granddaughter Sarah and to Leo in Shepparton. And Connor is a little brother for Murray. And three of our hymns today are favourites that we couldn't get into the hymn service last week. So we will begin by singing together in song 135, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Please be seated. And I invite Charles back to light the Advent candle. We are people of hope, so we light the candle of hope with hearts that wait and watch, trusting that Christ's light will shine in every shadow. As we remember families in Ethiopia building their lives, we hold fast to the hope that God is always making a way. And together we say, we light this candle in hope. And we'll sing the first verse of the Advent hymn, The Candle of Hope. The prayer of adoration today is a historic one. It comes from the Mozarabic liturgy, and the Mozarabic were the Arabic-speaking Christians who lived in Spain during the Islamic Spanish era. I always love that particular part of history because it shows that Jews, Christians, and Muslims can live together in peace, at least until the Reconquest and the Spanish Inquisition. So let us share this prayer from the Christians of that time. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord and hath dawned upon us, whose coming hath redeemed us, whose nativity hath enlightened us, and who by his coming hath sought out the lost and illuminated those who sat in darkness. Grant, therefore, O Father Almighty, that we, preparing with pious devotion for the day of his nativity, may find the day of judgment a day of mercy, that as we have known his benignity as our Redeemer, we may feel his gentle tenderness as our judge. Amen. And let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. O God, it is hard to keep expecting good when the forces against it seem so great. It is sometimes difficult to look at the world and believe in love when we so often experience something other than that. O God, we often think we know what life will be and the boundaries of your possibilities, boundaries set by people of power, boundaries set by our own frailty. O God, we know that you have called us to be people of the light and of the day, and yet too often we continue to walk in darkness, in self-indulgence, quarrelling and jealousy. Forgive our lack of faith, O God. Open our lives and our hearts to a grander dream for ourselves and for the world. Let your light shine into all our dark places and make us anew, so that we may walk as in the day, not stumble as in the darkness. This we pray in faith. Amen. Greater than all our expectations, wider than all our horizons, Stretching forth before us is the grace and kindness of God. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now we listen for God's word.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in the revelling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarrelling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." And the third reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So today we're having the last of our yearly lunches for the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. So I thought I would read you my tiny little book called Refugees. It's by Brian Bilston and Jess Sarabria.
They have no need of our help. So do not tell me these haggard faces could belong to you or me, should life have dealt a different hand. We need to see them for who they really are, chancers and scroungers, layabouts and loungers, with bombs up their sleeves, cutthroats and thieves. They are not welcome here. We should make them go back to where they came from. They cannot share our food, share our homes, share our countries. Instead, let us build a wall to keep them out. It is not okay to say these are people just like us. A place should only belong to those who are born there. Do not be so stupid to think that the world can be looked at another way. The world can be looked at another way. Do not be so stupid to think that a place should only belong to those who are born there. These are people just like us. It is not okay to say, build a wall to keep them out. Instead, let us share our countries, share our homes, share our food. They cannot go back to where they came from. We should make them welcome here. They are not cutthroats and thieves with bombs up their sleeves, layabouts and loungers, chancers and scroungers. We need to see them for who they really are. Should life have dealt a different hand, these haggard faces could belong to you or me. So do not tell me they have no need of our help. The next hymn is another one chosen as one of our favourites. It's Together in Song 693, Come As You Are. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I would not normally describe myself as a black and white thinker. I tend to congratulate myself on seeing shades of grey. But the three readings that we hear today turn me into a dualist. They all distinguish between light and darkness, night and day, with the light and the day good, and the night and the darkness bad. In our first reading, Isaiah tells the people of Judah to walk in the light of the Lord. The Apostle Paul tells the followers of Jesus in Rome to throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In Jesus' words to his followers from the Gospel according to Matthew, the light-dark dualism is not as clear, but the distinction between the one who will be taken and the one who will be left is very black and white. Advent is the season of light breaking into the world's darkness. We light candles of hope, peace, joy, and love as we await the coming of the one John called the true light, which enlightens everyone. In Advent, we remember the prophecy of Isaiah that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And at Christmas, we celebrate that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. Although at Christmas we do celebrate the coming of the light in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, let me now repeat what I say every year. In this season of Advent, we are truly preparing for the second coming of Christ, not the first, for the parousia, not the nativity. When the Apostle Paul says, "The night is far gone, the day is near," the day he's speaking of is the eschaton, the end of time. When Jesus, speaking apocalyptically, warns that the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect, his warning of the final judgment. Christians reading the prophecies of Isaiah believe that when he speaks of a time when the Lord shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not live up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah too is speaking of the parousia. Jews read that prophecy differently, but for us, it refers to the time when the Son of Man will come in glory to judge justly and bring about peace. Isaiah's prophecy speaks to humanity's deepest hopes. I know this because it's not just in the church that we speak and sing of a time to come when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. 35 years ago, I became obsessed with Les Miserables. First the musical by Alain Boublil and Claude-Michel Schomburg, and then the book by Victor Hugo, on which it's based. It began when I was given tickets to the musical for Christmas in 1989, about which I then talked so incessantly that one of my friends brought me a copy of the novel. The book was over 1,000 pages long, and I was doing year 12, but I read it from cover to cover in a few weeks when I was meant to be studying. And I still reread it a couple of times a decade. Les Miserables is about the Paris uprising of 1848, but readers don't need to know anything about that, because it's really the story of Jean Valjean, a recently released convict who steals silver from a bishop who has been kind to him. When the police catch him and bring him back before the bishop says, "I'm delighted to see you. Had you forgotten that I gave you the candlesticks as well? They're silver like the rest and worth a good 200 francs. Did you forget to take them?" With that act, the bishop saves Valjean, physically and spiritually. Valjean experiences a storm of disillusionment that swamps him, but the presence of God in the forgiveness of the bishop gives him the strength to survive and the courage to hope. I love Jean Valjean. The bishop is one of my role models as a clergy person. But when I was 16, I was more immediately affected by the student revolutionaries who took to the barricades to fight for a new world in which poverty would disappear. Almost all of them die, including the leader, Enjolras, of whom Hugo writes, "It seemed that the dignity of Enjolras, weaponless and motionless, weighed upon the tumult, and that this young man, the only one unwounded, proud, blood-spattered, charming, as disdainful as though he were invulnerable, impelled the sinister group to kill him with respect. His beauty, now enhanced by pride, was radiant, and as though he could be neither fatigued nor wounded, even after the appalling 24 hours which had passed, his cheeks were flushed with health. When I saw the musical, Enjolras was played by Anthony Warlow, and 16-year-old me fell in love with him." Les Miserables is an Advent musical. Near the end of the first act, the revolutionary students sing, "Do you hear the people sing?" which starts with Enjolras asking, and relax, I'm not going to sing it, I'm just going to say it. "Do you hear the people sing, singing a song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drum, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes." It's all very inspiring, and whenever I hear it, I want to take immediately to the barricades. But the song is repeated with differences at the musical's very end. As Jean Valjean dies, finally at peace, the entire company sings, "Do you hear the people sing again?" drawing on the prophet Isaiah for inspiration. "Do you hear the people sing, lost in the valley of the night? It is the music of a people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise. They will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. They will walk behind the plowshare. They will put away the sword. The chain will be broken, and all men will have their reward." The students tried to bring about the new world with revolutionary violence, and they failed. But the finale maintains that the new world will come, just as Isaiah has promised. The finale of this incredibly popular musical, loved worldwide, speaks to the same deeply human hope as today's readings, that despite all the darkness and pain and fear and doubt of the world in which we live, the time will come when the day will dawn, light will shine, God will rule with justice, and nations will be at peace. The students of the Paris Uprising of 1848 may have taken the wrong path in their attempt to bring about a new world, but they were right to act rather than simply to accept the injustice of their day. In none of today's readings are we encouraged to sit back and wait for God to remake creation. Isaiah told the people of Judah to walk in the light of the Lord as they waited for the days to come. Paul told the Romans to avoid reveling, drunkenness, illicit sex, licentiousness, and to walk decently as in the day while they waited for Christ to return. Today we hear only a small part from Jesus' last discourse in the Gospel according to Matthew, but at the very end of it, when he describes the Son of Man coming in his glory to judge the nations, the event for which in today's reading he is telling his disciples to be prepared, the criteria of judgment he gives are whether those being judged have fed the hungry, given drink to the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, taking care of the sick, and visited the imprisoned. We don't know the time of the second coming, when or how the promised day will dawn. But we do know how we are to live in the meantime, how we can walk in the light of the Lord. We are to do acts of mercy, forgiveness, and peace. Amen. The next hymn is together in song number 272, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. The focus of the Christmas Bowl this week is Ethiopia, a country where many families remain displaced and where opportunities for refugees can be extremely limited. This is Asima. After fleeing her home in Eritrea, she arrived in Ethiopia with her young daughter, carrying deep fear and uncertainty about the future. As an urban refugee, she struggled to find work, affordable housing, or a safe way to provide for her child. Through support from the Christmas Bowl and our local partner, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church Development and Interchurch Commission, Asima joined the TESFA program, which means hope. She received mentoring, vocational training, and small business support. She's now studying makeup artistry, a skill that will allow her to earn an income, care for her daughter, and build a stable future. Asima says that for the first time since fleeing home, she feels confident about the future and hopeful that her daughter will grow up with security and opportunity. Her story reminds us that when people who have been displaced are given the chance to learn, work, and belong, hope takes root again. And as Asima says, I am living in hope now more than ever. As I say, I am on the way to change. This week, as we hold the people of Ethiopia in prayer, we also remember those who have been affected by the flooding in Indonesia, Thailand, and Vietnam, and those affected by the deadly fire in Hong Kong. So let us bring to God our prayers for the world, and your parts are in yellow. Lord Jesus, our hope and our help, we bring to you prayers for the world.
We lift our hearts to the Lord of peace.
God of faithfulness and truth, We pray for those whose names we do not know, whose stories rarely make the news, and whose afflictions fade quickly from our sight.
All I have is you, and love I you.
We pray for Ethiopia, where too many families are displaced, where poverty runs deep, and despair seems never ending.
Christ, be present among the weary and exiled.
We give thanks for those who offer compassionate care, food, and shelter in times of need.
May your mercy shine in every act of care.
Strengthen the work of rebuilding, that all may find sustainable incomes and restored dignity.
May despair be turned into joy.
We pray for children longing for safety, for parents striving to provide, for communities dreaming of a place to call home. In this Advent season of watching and waiting, we pray for those who wait with anxiety. Teach us to walk in your light, to share what we have, to seek justice with compassion.
For Christ is our helper, now and always. Amen.
And we pray in the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Your offering for the work of this congregation and the wider church will now be received. Please stand. God of compassion and new life, we bring these gifts with grateful hearts. In a world where too many families are displaced and poverty steals dignity and hope, we pray that you would bless what we offer today. As we place our gifts in this bowl, we remember the history of love and compassion it carries. Transform our giving into seeds of justice, into pathways of sustainable life, into signs of your love made visible. May this offering strengthen our church community and reach beyond us, bringing hope to neighbours near and far. In the name of Jesus Christ, our light and our salvation. Amen. And again, the final hymn is one that was chosen as a favourite. It is Together in Song 681, Lord, Let Me See. So two notices. The first is that we're having the last of our refugee lunches today after church, so please come along and eat. Suggested donation is $10, but don't worry if you can't afford it. It's more important that you come and eat. So I hope to see all of you there. And the other thing is that on Wednesday night we had a fabulous dinner, absolutely wonderful. Some people there who don't normally come to church, and it was great to see them, and Kevin Sheedy spoke brilliantly. So thank you, Ted, and everyone who contributed, but especially Ted, who put so much work into that. So thank you. People of God, take heart. The night is far gone, the day is near. Christ calls us to wake up, to cast off despair and put on the armour of light. In a world of poverty, greed and fear, you are sent to live differently, to walk in hope, to resist injustice, to share generously and to shine with compassion. Go now in peace. For the light of Christ is breaking in, and God is not finished with the world. Amen.